Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends. It's time for another broadcast of the Gospel of Grace broadcast. And I trust that you'll pray for us in a very special way this morning as we turn to a portion of Scripture that we have never attempted to address publicly with the Lord's people except by a reference in a sermon of another subject. I've never taken this passage of Scripture as a text specifically, but it's on my heart, and it's a very important passage of Scripture. I have folks comment to me from time to time that I deal primarily with doctrine on the Gospel of Grace broadcast, and I don't apologize for that. We mean for this to be a representative broadcast, that is, to make a distinction between the truth of God's Word and everything else that is out there on the airwaves that is presented as truth. And what we teach doctrinally, salvation by the sovereign grace of God, the Word of God bears that doctrine out, salvation by sovereign grace from Genesis to Revelation. And it is the purpose of this broadcast to be a voice for truth on the airwaves in North Florida up and down the coast. However, because we believe in grace does not mean that we do not believe in discipleship, Christian responsibility. Absolutely not. Sovereign grace establishes our need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our responsibility to seek Him as a disciple to the glory of His name, for the peace and the joy in the consolation of our souls. Now here in the 16th chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome, it is very practical discipleship-based instruction. We're going to read a great deal of this chapter today. Now, discipleship is to be centered around a local church. That's the pattern of the New Testament. The Lord calls His sheep into a sheepfold. He did not call us into isolation and to be spiritual hermits. And we should come to the house of God. And after this broadcast, the announcer will tell you how to get in contact, how you can find McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, where you'll find a very loving, caring, kind, Bible-centered, God-honoring congregation. But let me say this. Whenever you attend a church, you're going to find that human beings are present who bring their human natures with them. And so today, because of that, in anticipation of that, and those of you who are already in church, to help you deal with human nature, I want to share with you that there are three people that you can be sure that you will find in the house of God whenever you get there. Three people you will find everywhere that the saints of God gather to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find these people necessarily every place in the world, but you will find them in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that I've got your attention at this point. And who are these three people? You'll find companions, dividers, and God. Companions, dividers, and God. Now, if you're like me, as you've read through the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, you've probably kind of just glossed over it, kind of like we would gloss over a list of names in a newspaper article. And as we read those 27 verses with little thought, because they're just, we see them kind of as a postscript on this glorious epistle that God has inspired Paul to write, let me say, it's a tragedy if we just dismiss these verses. This last chapter of this Paul's magnum spiritual, magnum opus, are given under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now let me say this. Satan is set to be the ultimate destroyer of the cause of God and truth in this world. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ brings his called out assembly together, Satan is going to come against it. Wherever the Prince of Peace brings peace in a local community by planting the church there, you can believe that Satan is going to attempt to bring strife and division. But let me say this, the head of the body is greater than Satan. He that is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than he that is in this world, Satan. But our heavenly husbandman, who is over his vineyard, our heavenly shepherd who's over his flock, he knows how to direct us and to guide us. And he does that by using faithful preaching of the gospel. He does it by his careful use of wise and kind providence, and by good counsel from brothers and sisters. But notice first, who you'll find at church are the companions. In the first portion of this chapter, Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit to name 29 people as his beloved companions in the cause of Christ. They are his beloved companions. They're loved of God. They're chosen by God's grace. They've been redeemed by the shed blood and the imputed righteousness of the Son of God. They have been born again. They have experienced salvation in the power of regeneration, the new birth by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. They are believers. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 16, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe is the first one that is mentioned. Phoebe is a servant of the church. And then you go on down and you'll read in verse 3 about Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And they, like Phoebe, Phoebe was described as a succorer, someone who gave succor to the saints. Priscilla and Aquila did the same thing. About Priscilla and Aquila, his companions, Paul said, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Those are true companions, those that are willing to lay down their necks for you. Not just when things are going well, or when you're strong, or when things look good for you, but when things get tough, are they willing to lay down their necks, or are they just fair weather companions? And Paul goes on the list. Epaphroditus, who he said is my well-beloved, who's the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ, who bestowed much labor on us, specifically helping. You notice the trend? Phoebe succored. There was Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Epaphroditus has labored on behalf of Paul. True companions. They're not mere acquaintances. And here's Andronicus in verse 7. And Junia, my kinsman. Now, these were evidently members of his own family who were also disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. How sweet it is when you have dear ones according to nature, according to the flesh, who also love and serve the Lord. And they've been fellow prisoners. That means evidently they have been put in prison with Paul. What an incredible list. We've read over this list too quickly in days past and gone. Paul said that Andronicus and Junia, they're of note among the apostles who were also in Christ before me. They were serving before I ever got there. And then he says in verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Notice these companions labor. They're not acquaintances. They're not fair-weather friends. They are in it for the long haul. They have their eyes on the prize, and they are laboring. It's costing them something to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Asyncritus. Salute Asyncritus. Phlegon. Hermas. Patrobas. Hermes. And the brethren which are with them, Philologus, and Julia, and Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints which are with them, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Every gospel church is a body of companions in the cause of Christ. God's saints are all companions, men and women devoted to Christ, His gospel, His church, and to one another. God's servants are all companions, seeing as the Word of God says, eye to eye. Well, you can say, preacher, now listen, I've never seen eye to eye with anyone. I don't expect you to see eye to eye on everything with everyone in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say, if we'd focus on the things that we can agree on instead of the things that we can't agree on, we'd get along a lot better in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what can we all see eye to eye on? We can see eye to eye on the fact that 2,000 years ago, God commanded the womb of a virgin to clothe him and to make him a body of flesh. We can see eye to eye on the fact that that baby that was born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, that he grew in stature and wisdom and grew up before men and led a perfect life, a representative life, and a substitutionary life, and that he lived to fulfill the law of God on our behalf, and that he went to Calvary and died there for you and I, and that in dying he paid for our sins, and that he was buried and laid in the tomb for 3 days and nights. And we can see eye to eye on the fact that on the third and revolving morning he was resurrected from the grave, ascended back to the Father, was seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We can see eye to eye on the fact that he's seated there making intercession for us according to the will of God, and that he's coming back for us one day, and that until he comes back again, we should serve him by serving one another and loving one another freely for Christ's sake. That's a lot that we can see eye to eye on. God help us to quit looking at the things that divide us and that the insignificant things that tear us apart and that our human nature wants to gravitate toward, and see things that bring us together. God's servants and His people are companions. Because we see eye to eye on those things that I just mentioned, God's people now are companions. That's what we read to you. Didn't you get that sense in that list? They are Paul's companions, co-laborers in the cause of Christ, one with Christ and one in Christ. We need to focus on that in the days ahead like we've never focused before. I'm telling you, the day is late. The night is far spent. We need to come together around these glorious truths, labor together as companions in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul demonstrates this fact. This isn't an option, it's a commandment that we're to be companions and co-laborers. It's not if you feel like it. It's what we're to do because of what Jesus did. Paul demonstrates this fact beautifully in this portion of Holy Scripture. Let me say this. What a thoughtful, tender, caring preacher Paul must have been. There is nothing that would make me feel any better than to think that maybe when I leave this world, there would be some folks who could remember me as a tender and caring preacher. I don't want to be remembered as someone who compromised truth, the doctrine. And I don't think that you can find anyone who'd say that I've ever compromised truth. But what I need to work harder at, what I need to be more careful about, is demonstrating the spirit of the Master and being more tender and more caring. Look at the companions Paul names in the first 16 verses of this chapter. In the church and kingdom of God, rank, status, social position, wealth and poverty, education or lack of education, race, place, all of it means nothing. I get very concerned whenever I see people in God's kingdom that are impressed by what other people have. And I see it. People that are impressed by the position, the affluence, who tend toward, who want to spend more time with, who want to gravitate toward individuals based on their rank and their place and their influence and their affluence in this world. That is not the pattern of God's Word. The Word of God says that we're to condescend to men of low estate. Look at the companions again here in the 16th chapter. Only here in the church of God are all social barriers broken down. Listen, Galatians 3, 26 through 29. You are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. National barriers are done away with. There's neither bond nor free. Social barriers are done away with. Bond or free. Jesus doesn't see any difference between the man who owns the vineyard and the man who's working in the vineyard. In Jesus, there's neither male nor female. Jesus is not impressed by gender. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you then be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then he says basically the same thing to the church at Colossae. He says in Colossians 3, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. Now let me say this. Barbarians were despised by the Greeks. They were the uncultured, the uninformed, the unenlightened. And even underneath the barbarians were the Scythians. They were the off-scouring culturally. They were the lowlives of that day. But Paul said, listen, it doesn't matter. If Christ comes into the heart of a barbarian, if Christ comes into the heart of a foul Scythian, there's neither bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And that's what makes the difference. It's not the color of your skin. It's not your education. It's not the amount in your bank account. And we need to quit pandering to that. God help us. Some here named by God's servants as His beloved companions here in the 16th chapter were rich, very rich. Thank God. They could be of great benefit to the kingdom of God if they use what God gave them, if they recognized their wealth and their finances did not belong to them, but they belonged to God. God gave them to them. And so wealth can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. But there were some men of great civic and political power and influence. We read about that, the chamberlain of a city who would have wielded incredible influence in that large city. But others here in this list were unknown and poor. Some were men, others were women, some were Jews, some were Gentiles. There was at least a black man here, Rufus, the son of Simon the Cyrenian. Paul adopted Rufus's mother as his own, took care of her. Priscilla and Aquila were wealthy enough to host a local church in their own house. Narcissus was one of Caesar's most powerful appointees in Rome. Erastus was the chamberlain of Corinth, appointed by the emperor to oversee the city. And among these companions, just notice what a diverse group this is. Among these companions, fellow helpers, co-laborers, Paul names at least 9 women. I'm very sad to hear the uninformed in America on news stations saying constantly that Christians, conservative Christians, do not believe in empowering and affirming the nobler gender, females, women. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul's writing was revolutionary. The Jewish religion of Paul's day would not have recognized women. They would not have named women as among the most influential people in the most important movement on the face of the earth. The Romans certainly would have not. The Greeks absolutely would have not. But here in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are 9 women named as influential laborers and fellow helpers of the Apostle Paul. No one, nothing outside of Christianity has done more to elevate the status of women on the face of the earth than the Christian church. Now let me say this, none of these women were pastors. None of them were evangelists or deacons. Scripture does not hold out the office of pastor for women in the church. These women were not usurpers over their husbands or other men. But these women were godly women. There wasn't a women's liber among them, if you will. And I say that as kindly as I can, but we use great plainness of speech. But these women were faithful. They weren't seeking to put forward their own rights. And that's what I mean by that statement. They weren't seeking to promote themselves or put themselves forward. They, like the faithful men mentioned in this list, We're seeking to push forward the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation today, our society is drunk today with everyone drunk on the wine of everyone seeking their own rights and what they have coming to them and what they deserve. This list of Paul's companions was a diverse list made up of men and women of every social structure, every political structure, the affluent, the poor, the rich, educated, uneducated, influential, people of no political influence, but they all had this in common. They loved the kingdom of God. They loved the king of the kingdom, and they were going to work and labor. They entertained God's servants and God's people in their homes. They accommodated local churches. These precious women here, they taught younger women by word and example how to carry themselves and how to be models of chastity and Christian love. They taught others, other women, how to love their husbands and how to love their children. They lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. They served Him by serving His people. They were always busy, but never busybodies. Thank God for such serving Marthas in the kingdom of God. The church cannot function without them. Let me say this. It is always proper to say thank you privately and publicly. And while all the praise and all glory for all things is to be given to God, we're nothing. It is God who gives the increase. It's God who makes our work helpful to others. Any gifts, talents, or abilities that we have or graces are God's gift to us. Yet it is Christ-like and commendable for us to be grateful as Paul is here to one another. For every good work of faith and labor of love, it's always right to say thank you. I appreciate you and your faithfulness to the Lord. And that's what Paul does here. That's what he's doing. Now we're going to continue. God willing, we'll take up at the same place, the Lord willing, next time. May the Lord bless you all.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.